Board approves in July 12, 2001. Could I have roll call, please?
Thank you. Member Branch?
Here.
Member Brown?
Here.
Member Schneider? He's absent. Member Smith?
Here.
Member Wignott?
Here.
Vice Chair Messner? Chair Herrera?
Here.
Thank you.
Okay, with that, we'll move to the administrative agenda.
I make a motion to approve the minutes of June 28th.
I'll second.
Okay, minutes approved. All in favor?
Oh, wait a minute.
Comments?
Oh, too many comments, I'm sorry.
None. I have none.
None? Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Abstain.
Abstain.
Oh, wait a minute, we don't have enough.
I wasn't at the last meeting, so.
Likewise.
I have to abstain.
I have to abstain as well because I was not here last meeting.
Oh.
Whoops. So
we get to continue these to the next meeting then.
Okay.
Yep.
We need a motion for that.
We need a motion?
I'll make a motion to continue the approval of the minutes to the next meeting.
I'll second.
Yep.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay. All right. B2, Street Tree Subcommittee Report. Chris is not here.
Believe we're going to meet on
July 26th.
Sorry, July 26th. Thank you.
26.
At 2 p.m.
2 p.m. Okay.
That is all. Over and out.
Thank you. B3, Planning Director Report.
Thank you, Chair Herrera, members of the board. Just two brief notes for you. At the last meeting, I was able to announce that on July 21st, the City Council will be holding a public workshop regarding the Bishop Ranch General Plan Amendment and Development Agreement process. That meeting will be held at 6 o'clock p.m., I believe, in this room. I don't have any other additional information other than that, but anyone that's interested in that project, please contact Ann Wells in our Advanced Planning Department for additional information or visit the website.
What date again was that, Scott?
July 21st.
Okay, thank you.
I believe it's a Thursday. And then the only other piece of news, just as you're looking at your calendars, while we do have a meeting on July 26th, the meeting following that, August 9th, that meeting is canceled. It's been canceled since the beginning of this year. And then that means that our next meeting following that one would be August 23rd. And that concludes the director's report today.
Okay. We'll move on to C, review of agenda and projected agenda. Scott.
And again, Chair Herrera, members of the board, just a few notes for you. Item I.2, permit 10-048-DRB. It's the Rasmussen Development Plan Amendment Project located essentially 107 through 133 South La Patera Lane. That applicant requests to continue the project to August 23rd. And the only other agenda management aspect that I have, item K.2 and K-1, we're recommending those to be flip-flopped. So we hear item K.2 first. The reason being the Westar project is the larger of the two, and we wanted to let the smaller project move forward and for the benefit of the public to attend the Westar project as well. And that's all that I have.
I'll make a motion to continue project agenda item I-2 to the meeting in August.
I'll second.
Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay, we move to public comment. At this time, the public shall have the opportunity to comment on any non-agenda item relevant to the jurisdiction of the city. It is requested that each speaker complete a speaker request form and submit it to the recording clerk. Reasonable time limits are imposed on each topic and each speaker. In accordance with the provisions of the Federal Brown Act, no action or discussion may take place for the Design Review Board on any item not on the posted agenda. The Design Review Board may respond to statements made or questions asked and may direct the staff to report back on the topic at a future meeting. Consent calendar.
I reviewed item E1, 401 Stark Road, the Camino Real Hotel, and recommend final approval with the recommendations that the we added a darker paint color for the railings, for the wrought iron railings, and we changed the sills in the stone facades to be stone themselves. And I think that was it. Was there anything else, Scott? Oh, we had a clarification of a column capital and base as being stone on a couple of sheets. I think that was it.
That's
so
correct.
With that, I recommend that the board give them final approval.
Okay. And then I reviewed item E2, the Castilian loading dock enclosure, 75 Castilian Drive. It is in all extents exactly what the board saw and approved the last time. They had to come back with some details. The details are consistent with what we wanted. And a note also there that all the colors and textures that they do are supposed to match existing. And so I recommend approval for E2.
E2, okay. Do we have to make a motion on this?
That's correct. If we could make a separate motion for each one.
Okay. I'll move to approve item E1 with the comments stated.
I'll second that.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay.
And I make a motion for the approval of item E2 as submitted.
I'll second that also.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Okay. Motion carries. Okay. I've signed calendar. Seeing there's none, we'll move to G, revised final calendar, G1.
And while the plans are being distributed, if we could start with our declarations, that'd be appreciated.
I've had no ex parte, but I did have a chance to, I was visiting Councilmember Easton a couple weeks ago and looked over the fence and saw the project underway, and that's my latest site visit, so to speak.
Okay. I visited the project, but quite some time ago prior to construction starting. I haven't had any conversations with the applicant.
Same.
I drove by the site and visited it today, but no conversations with anyone.
I visited the site and no conversations.
Okay, item G1 is Design Review Board Permit Number 11-077-DRB, Braddock House, southeast of the intersection of Kellogg Avenue and Armitos Avenue. A request for a revised final review.
Okay. Cindy?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just a brief note that, as you indicated, the Braddock House is currently under construction. The applicant's here for revised final on their landscape plan only. They're proposing to revise the plant palette a little bit, as well as the quantity of the plantings, and I'll let the applicant go through those details. Thank you.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Mr. Chair and members of the Design Review Board. My name is John Polanski. I'm Director of Housing Development with the Housing Authority of the County of Santa Barbara and SURF Development. Jason Rojas is our project coordinator, and I'll actually let Jason do most of the talking. I really appreciate this opportunity at this exciting time. Last time we met, we hadn't started digging dirt. And kind of our bottom line was we were struggling with filling the gap for the construction costs. And then we encountered even a greater gap with the original landscape plan. The bids were coming in about $80,000, just to kind of give you an idea about why we're here. So we do appreciate the time. We did have to revisit. The city really came through with some redevelopment money to allow us to make the construction gap possible, but We just could not cover the $80,000 in landscape costs. So with that, I'll turn it over to Jason to kind of walk through it and then entertain any questions. Again, appreciate your time.
Thank you. It sounds like most of you have visited the site, but I did bring some photographs just in case anyone has not. I'll just pass those around to kind of give you an idea. As John mentioned, we are in construction. We're very close to completion. The primary activities we are doing now out on site are, of course, the landscaping and also just doing the meter sets to get all of our utilities set in. After that, we're really close to getting our final inspections and obtain our C of O. So we're very excited. This has been a project long in the making, and we're very close to completion. Our targeted occupancy date is August 1st, and we do have tenants lined up and ready to move in. So we're trying to keep the project on task, on target, and we're doing a really good job so far. As John mentioned, we're going through some revisions to the landscaping due to the high cost of the installation. What we've done is we've pretty much descaled back most of the plantings that were part of the original design. We kept the majority of the type of plants in our revised plan. However, the trees were primarily the main object that was revised. Part of this, and part of moving this project forward, we had to partner with some local businesses and community organizations. One of those was Goleta Beautiful, which they have been a really good help to move this project forward. They've actually donated the trees and installation costs for this development. So you'll see in the pictures, they have been installed, and they were planted last week. And the reason why they were planted prior to going to this hearing is scheduling. We had to push them out, a few times. Their schedule, in order for us to meet our completion date of August 1st, kind of hit just before our DRB hearing. So that's why the trees were actually installed. The other ground cover and plants, as I mentioned before, are pretty much the same. What we're trying to do is to keep the project maintenance-wise manageable for a longer-term base, and then also allowing us to move the project forward. So the irrigation design is the same as the original plan. The only change is really the number of plants that are going in. So.
One of the other quick comments that I'll make is as we, once we discovered that we did need to revisit, we immediately started working with our closest neighbor, Riley Pollard, and with the folks there at the condominium, because, of course, they would be the most impacted. And my understanding is that they're satisfied and certainly happy with the new planting and the manner in which we've been able to work with them. The other thing is just to reiterate the planting of the trees. It was unfortunate that we just couldn't reschedule. We were going to be losing the benefit of having the donated trees and donated labor if we weren't able to move forward. So this is not ordinarily what we would do, but we do apologize for that. But again, it was just, when you're Goleta Valley Beautiful is good enough to have gotten this donation, for this and to make this project work. We just could not, deny it. So really appreciate you working with us on this.
I don't have any questions, but I think it's fine. I like it. I think I almost like the palette better, the trees that are being used. I looked at the original plan. I think these are maybe more appropriate, and it always, of course, are nicer to have more lushly landscaped yards, but you have lots of nice trees, and that's what I was hoping that you were going to have is lots of trees. So.
Yeah, I agree.
I think it's fine.
I mean, what you have is you have time. You can always add to it, so. And I think it's really great that you got the donations that you did, and that's great.
Yeah.
So yeah. I'm fine with it.
I am too. Likewise.
Okay. Seems like we have a speaker slip here. for Riley Dullard.
Yeah, how about that?
Hi, my name is Riley Pollard. Thank you very much for having me here. So I do want to speak in support of this revised plan. The trees are essential for me because the two windows facing my property would look into my property if these trees weren't there eventually. You know, we mitigated a lot of stuff at the beginning of the process. I want to say these guys have been very cooperative in doing that. We've had one or two little issues that we've resolved amongst ourselves, and it's worked out just fine. The kind of trees they're putting in are better than what was originally going to be there. You know, if you look at their property, it's always maintained well. It looks very nice. I have no reason to doubt that over the course of time, they'll fill in some of the stuff that won't get there now. So it was a little shocking to have these guys show up out of the blue with the trees, but you know what? It's going to work out fine. So I urge you guys to approve this if you would be so kind. Thanks.
Okay. Kim, thank you.
I'll make a motion to approve it as submitted.
I'll second.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed?
There you go.
Okay. She carries. All right.
Congratulations.
Thank you
yeah.
Thank
Congratulations.
You. Unless you guys want to talk about it some more.
No, no, no. We're good. Thank you.
All right.
Really We've just completed G1. With that, we'll take a few moments to start our next one.
It's neat having those trees there.
But then we'll move to preliminary calendar. I-1.
And we're in the process of getting the project planner on this one, but in the meantime, if we can go ahead and do declarations, that would be appreciated. Yes.
I've visited the property in times past. Have not talked with anyone there.
Ditto.
Same.
Same.
Same here.
And as we're waiting for the project planner, I'll jump in for a brief second to try to update us as to where we are on this project. This is a project that has been conceptually reviewed in the past by the Design Review Board. It was last reviewed by the Design Review Board back on May 25th, 2010, so a little bit over a year ago. Since that point in time, the project has gone before the zoning administrator, who did review the project as you're seeing it today. So with that stated, since we've made it through the ZA process, we're back here for preliminary approval. And with that, I'll go ahead and I'll turn it over to Natalie and the applicant's team. And if the DRB has any questions after that for staff, our project planner should be with us at that point in time.
Okay.
All right. I'm Natalie Cope with CSA Architects. We also have Elsa Reeder from CSA as well. So if you have any questions, we're going to do a little tag team. And we have
Kim True from True Nature Landscape Architecture.
So I'm going to start off with just a little bit of review with the architecture itself. There weren't many comments last time. What we're doing is taking an existing building that was a child care facility, and we're creating a single family dwelling. There was one small additional area and a garage. And the comments last time, all of the elevations, for example, will be materials to match the existing house. And you wanted to know a little more information about not only the landscape, but the light fixtures that would be used.
Oh, that's right.
So.
Okay.
Good. Do we have the comments from our last meeting that you could put up on the screen?
Yeah, let me go ahead and get those for you.
Thank you.
I'm not sure if on page 8 you have on the far left side, you should have cut sheets of the fixtures we're proposing.
All right, 8.
And that may be a no, so I brought them with me.
Okay, good, thank you.
So we have simple fixtures here that are very similar to other lights on site. It is a fluorescent 18-watt glass that's etched, thus it's frosted. And there's two different fixtures there. One's a hanging fixture and one's a wall-mounted fixture.
Where does the light source sit within the fixture? Is it up inside the housing? Or?
No, it's not up inside the housing, but it has a frosted glass. You will not see the bulb itself.
All right.
Here
here it says that it's
etched CD glass.
CD glass.
Yes.
So to me, that's not, that's opaque. It's not a, it's got, so you can see the light through it.
It's not meant to be. On this particular manufacturer, when we looked at the website, their etched CD glass was more of a, I'm sorry, not an opaque, but a frosted. Normally, I would say also that an etched CD glass would be something that
you could
see through.
Right, it's
not. Not this particular manufacturer, no.
And this matches the other lights on in the commons?
In the area. They all have different ones.
Gotcha.
They're all individual.
Okay.
But it's in general, it has that kind of lamp style.
Okay.
Are there any other questions mm-hmm. regarding the lights or any of the architecture? If not, we can move forward to the landscape. Mm-hmm. Okay.
It works for me.
And if I may for a moment, Member Brown, we don't have the previous motion with us. If you want us to grab that, we can.
Well, I'm just wondering if there I think we need to see that.
Yeah.
Then give me just a minute and I'll
okay,
be right back.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
I think that would be important to see that.
Okay. The first sheet of our landscape plan is a conceptual demolition plan, just to make it clear what's coming out and what's to remain, and to show you the existing vegetation on the site and adjacent to where the work's going to occur. And here you see the driveway, these existing pull-through driveway is going to be removed. And so some of the existing vegetation on the side here is going to have to come out. In addition, we're proposing to remove this eucalyptus tree that's right in the middle of this walkway here. They've already had some issues with it lifting the concrete, and it's going to be damaged during construction, so we feel best to remove that. Other than that, we'll be maintaining the existing vegetation up here towards the entry and over here in the common open space.
Are people allowed to park on the right-of-way in front of this property, or do they have to park in the driveway? Do you know?
There is space currently to park there.
Can you rotate the mic?
Currently, there is space to park in front of the property right now. As you go down a little bit further towards the mailboxes, then it becomes a green space where parking is limited,
right.
And the same on both sides of the street.
Thank you.
So there is or there is not parking in front of this house?
There is.
There is. Okay. All right. Okay, fine.
Okay. So this plan here is a slightly revised plan from what was submitted. We removed the myoporum and replaced it with Ceanothus griseus horizontalis as one of the ground cover choices. And what we're proposing to do is, you know, with removing this walkway here, to carry that lawn feature, wrap it around, and engage the front of the property. And this is an existing photograph of the site standing in the street looking back at the property. And you can see this house, since we're in the median and we're on the corner here, we're just mirroring that entrance to create that gracious entry to the whole neighborhood. And there's also the open spaces across with the tennis courts, and there's some existing agapanthus planters and these narrow planters that are existing. So we are proposing to replace the dioecious that was there with some agapanthus to tie in with what's occurring along the rest of Winchester Circle. And we're also bringing that up through the front of the landscape, along the edge of the house and around the entry feature as sort of an accent plant. We're proposing an arbutus or a peppermint tree. So they're both drought-tolerant, tough, low-maintenance trees. They're on the property's approved plant palette list. In addition, some low shrubs around here, maintaining the existing ligustrum hedge here, and then planting some lower flowering shrubs around the entrance to this gate. And again, we're removing, as part of the architecture, they're removing the patio that was here as part of the play area. So we're proposing some new landscaping in that area. And tying in some of this ceanothus, most likely with maybe a little bit of star jasmine to tie in with what's happening out on the street and other open parts. Of the development. We're proposing to do a drought-tolerant drip irrigation system, climate-based, when we switch this over, and then we'll be redesigning the irrigation system here for maximum water efficiency. So it's all pretty simple, trying to match with what's existing on the site, make this new landscape blend into the rest of the neighborhood, make it look like it's part of what's always been there. So any questions on any of the plants or?
Kim, is the privet going to have to be pruned over time?
This does stay about 8 feet and about 4 feet wide, so I would assume that they would probably keep hedging it, but it's not something that gets out of bounds.
Is it something that you can put in that isn't going to have to be pruned, that would be less maintenance?
Well, this is already existing here, so are you requesting that we remove
this? No, I just thought it was new.
Oh, no, the privet's okay. Existing, right. And we're just proposing to leave that, right. And then the rest of the shrubs don't need to be pruned.
No, it's fine. Okay.
Mm-hmm. That's great. Okay. You got the right idea. You got the right plants.
Yeah, it's fine. I would have liked to see more trees, but...
I think you did a great job of blending in with
what's there.
With what's there and
fine.
And including the median and across the street, right. And
it looked like it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think there. It's been done quite intelligently. So,
Chair Herrera, members of the board, really quick, I just want to make you aware of two conditions of approval on this project as you get into discussions on it. One of them, it requires the dark sky lighting, which I know you always look at. The other one requires 75% drought-tolerant Mediterranean landscaping. So if you could provide any comments on that as you go through your review, it would be appreciated.
How do we know 70?
Yeah, how do we know
75? How do we know 75% has been achieved?
I measured what I'm considering to be the new lot, what we're proposing to be the new lot here, and then this is part of the common open space lot.
Mm-hmm.
So from this lot here, what we're proposing to do, this piece of lawn is 25%, and this is the 75% drought tolerant in this area here.
I mean...
And then this is all part of the common open space, which then is a larger lot, so this is... I didn't calc how much it is, but it's a very small percentage.
I got you. I mean, we're looking at this for aesthetic mm-hmm. reasons. Did planning buy that? are you okay with what they're quantifying as the 75%?
As long as it's clear on the plan set and the board is okay with it, yes. So a delineation of what's drought tolerant would be helpful for the final plan set.
Okay, for the final plan mm-hmm. set. Okay.
So none of the 75% is any of the 75% drought tolerant is any of it grass?
Any of the drought tolerant plants
yes.
grass? No.
No, it's all just landscaping.
No, I'm considering all of the ornamental shrubs drought tolerant.
Okay.
Well, they all are listed as drought tolerant. And then the grass is what I'm considering my non.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay with that.
Well, let's talk about the lighting. Could you not find something that was, these are fluorescent lights?
Yes.
Oh, they're fluorescent.
Yes, okay. They are fluorescent.
Okay.
So they're energy efficient. As far as the dark sky, I know that's somewhat of a personal opinion as to what officially is in a dark sky lamp. Well, I mean,
you can find fixtures that are dark sky compliant.
I understand. Like some of them are specifically called out as such.
Right.
These particular lamps do not have light that's going to be shining up at all. They will be out, but this is also a stereotypical light of the actual neighborhood. So we were trying to find something that matched in similar look. But I mean, we can make sure that it had specifically said, you know, the instead of the CD glass, make sure that we find one that says frosted glass or something of that nature, if that's what could move this forward.
Have you seen the actual lighting fixture?
This one? No.
What I want to make sure that you see it before it's installed, because if it is really that CD glass that you and I typically think of CD glass, then it doesn't work.
Yes, understood.
Okay, so that would be my only thought, is that it needs to be...
It has to be frosted.
It has to be frosted. Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
The actual term.
Right.
But, I mean, the wattage is not big, no, so that's okay.
It's fine, but, right.
Can I just ask a question of staff again about the percentage of landscaping? Does that means all of the landscaping on the property or just the new landscaping in calculating the 75% figure?
The 75% figure is for all landscaping on site.
We're not going to change. Wow.
There's quite a bit of existing lawn in the back. We weren't really planning on working on that, and that's why we were considering the front, where we are proposing to do work.
Well, I guess that's the question. If you look at all the lawn, what the condition is suggesting that only 25% of the landscaping would be lawn, and then 75% would be drought-tolerant landscaping. And so just looking at the plan, it doesn't seem like you're meeting that one.
Well, what does the exact language say?
I don't have the exact language with me. This is my compliance file. However, in any case, this is a standard condition that we have with most of our projects that go through the process, and what I can do is go through the record and how we've applied this in the past and see if we need it to have it applied for the entire site or if in this situation it's appropriate to apply it to only new landscaping, and we can confirm that at final.
Okay.
I think that's wise. I mean, technically this is an issue between the client and planning, and we have to look at it and say, does it aesthetically fit with the surroundings? So numerically, you guys have to hash that out, I think.
And something else to consider, too, is some of the landscape that they're converting on their plan is outside of the property line of this. So they're kind of going in that region where they're altering this building, they're kind of like going over and above it in a way. So,
well, I mean, I don't disagree, but part of the problem for me is that they're taking out driveway, which is paving, and then rather than putting in just totally drought-tolerant landscaping, we have lawn going in. So that seems to defeat the purpose. I was just looking at its plan sheet CA-1.
Okay.
And it's condition 6, which goes to the 75% requirement. And it seems like it's talking about counting all existing, like for example, 6B, all existing and new trees, shrubs, and ground cover by species. So I guess, you know, the question is, are we talking about landscaping for the entire project, and it's supposed to be 75-25?
Right.
Drought-tolerant versus non-drought-tolerant? Or is it just the new stuff?
I don't know. You can kind of go either way. I mean, I hear what you're saying, and you know, but at the same time, it says, you know, project landscaping. It says that the landscape plan will identify what's existing, but it doesn't say that's part of the project. It's kind of splitting hairs, I admit. But you could make the point that project landscaping is the landscaping that's contiguous to and part of what they're doing to the house. I don't know. I'm not.
I guess some definitions and parameters.
Yeah.
Laura's going to lose some sleep in the next few days, I think.
Yeah.
Don't worry, I won't lose sleep.
Guidance on that.
We'll resolve this issue at the staff level, and we'll report back to you at final or the next meeting, whatever you determine that'll be.
Yeah, if we could get some resolution on that before we come back, that would be appreciated. Thank you.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm not in total disagreement with what you're presenting as far as landscaping, but I would suggest having less new lawn and more drought resistant or drought tolerant landscaping, particularly in that area where you're taking out the existing driveway, would
And the lawn
would be appropriate.
Added to be consistent with the other side of the entrance to the project.
Sure.
And it was minimized as much as possible, but still sort of creating a nice entrance and a good flow through. So that I did try to be very careful of that.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think where Bob was referring to is in the back, because mm-hmm. in the day when it was a daycare center,
yeah.
it's good to have lots of lawns so the kids mm-hmm. can get out and romp around. But now it's becoming a residence. So I definitely see where you're coming from with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
So we need a motion to, this is for preliminary, right. So do we want to have this come back at preliminary again, or what's the feeling of the?
I was.
What do you want to do?
I was kind of ready to give it okay. preliminary, but we're unsure of, I mean, can we do that? What if we give a preliminary and you guys find
Can we make
work.
A motion for preliminary with the condition that the staff and the applicant investigate whether the 75% involves the whole lot and to explore ways of making the rest of it conform with the drought tolerant.
Okay, and then I would like a condition also added that the applicant will ensure that the glass of the light fixture is
uh-huh.
is frosted.
Okay. Well, then,
and if I may, for staff's benefit, we're okay with this moving forward from preliminary into the final approval stage if the DRB is
okay.
comfortable with that.
Okay. Okay.
It seems like the only issue that's on the table right now is minor aspects of landscaping. The overall thrust of the project, yeah. you do seem comfortable
well,
with.
Well, then yes. I'd like to make a motion for preliminary approval with the following. Comments or conditions. Number one, that when the applicant comes back, that we get positive information that the glass on the exterior luminaries is indeed translucent, as opposed to just merely pebbled or you know whatever the description
seated.
And that the applicant work with staff to determine. Exactly whether or not the 75% rule on drought-tolerant landscaping applies to the entire site or just to that area contiguous with the project.
I'll second that.
Yeah, okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
When would you like to come back? Yeah, it's a matter of staff.
Well, we have room for you on the July 26th calendar if you'd like to come back. The meeting, and we would need plans a week before that, so you'd be looking July 19th, essentially a week from today.
Right.
On July 26th, meaning the next one?
Yeah.
Okay.
We can always continue if for some reason you find that what's required is something different than what you're expecting. So,
okay.
So we'll just see then. Okay.
Thank you.
Great. Thank,
thank
you.
You.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. We've just completed I-1.
So now we're going to flip the other two. Mm-hmm. We'll do K-2 first.
I-2 was continued to August 23rd. We'll move to J, conceptual preliminary calendar. There's none. Conceptual calendar.
K-2.
Take a few moments to get set up here.
And while we're getting set up for this one, if we could do declarations.
Okay.
I visited the site but had no ex parte communications.
Same with me.
Same.
Same.
I had no site visit or ex parte.
Okay. How you doing?
sharing.
I kind of find 8.5 by 11 sandier.
Do you have an applicant?
I believe so. I'm not sure what she looks like. I've never met her.
If the applicant's here, this is your time to come up.
Is the applicant here?
Apparently not. So if we could pause for a moment.
Okay, we'll break for 5 minutes. I'll see you back here at 3:46.
We'll be here, but if you do give a call.
Okay, we'd like to call the meeting back to order. We'll move on to K2. Madam Secretary, would you announce the item, please?
Thank you. Item K2 is Design Review Board Permit Number 11-067-DRB. Baca Edition, located at 7387 Chapman Place, Unit B.
Okay. Brian?
Yeah, okay. Pretty simple addition here. The only thing that's different from a standard, residential addition is that there is a parent permit that staff looks at when we do the analysis on this. So it's not just our codes, but we do look at the parent permit. But from a design review board standpoint, your review is the same. Size, bulk, and scale, neighborhood compatibility are especially important here. We've all seen the neighborhood and know when it was built. Can't really affect that at this point, but take that into consideration. And I don't have anything more to provide other than what was already provided in the staff report. So unless you have any questions,
okay,
it's on to you guys.
Yeah, I guess my question, Brian, is what was the trigger that made it necessary for the project to come for DRB review?
It was that parent permit itself.
Oh, the parent permit.
And the zone designation requires it as well.
Okay.
So it was, it wasn't actually a factor of size. It was just the fact that there was an addition at all.
Okay.
You may remember we did one on Davenport that was a similar floor plan to this one. That addition was much larger. It actually required us to amend that development plan because of its size. This one is smaller, so we can do a substantial conformity determination. That's the permit that I'm doing along with the design review and the land use permit that will come out in the end.
And if we could back up for just one more second, giving context, the thing we did not mention is what this project is. It's a 470-square-foot addition to an existing 977-square-foot residence, a duplex.
Unit B of the two. Yeah, so the applicant can give her presentation at this point.
Okay.
Hi.
We need to turn the. There you go. Start over.
Hi, Christine Perrone, architect of the project. And again, I apologize for running late. As you can see, it's a modest project. It's a small addition to the front and a small addition off the master bedroom, off the master for a new master bath and closet. The architecture, we're just staying with the same very simple 1970s ranchy kind of look to the house. There was no attempt to update the building, so the addition is keeping within that language. The one thing that we're adding is a nice entry porch. These projects don't have the best sense of entry, so we wanted to improve that with a small porch, and I think even bringing it closer to the front is a plus. The way these pie-shaped lots are, that you can't even see where to go to the front door. Mm-hmm. So by pulling it forward, that's going to help. And you'll see that there's proposed a new fence line and a gate with a trellis, coming off the garage there, again, to really strengthen that sense of entry that you can see from the street. It's all one story. Same detailing. I don't have a lot to add. Any questions?
Thank you. I think the original plans.
They're flipped.
Reversed. Yeah. The what's actually there is a mirror of what's there now. Just as a question for myself, on the facade there on that entry porch, is the idea just to leave that just plain plaster there, or was there any thought to maybe something decorative right at that point, or?
You know, I was actually about to talk about the porch, as you know, my inclination is always at first to, like, you want to add, and but every time I looked at the architecture, that architecture is just so simple, and my final tendency, and I looked to the board for any comments, but my final tendency was to just keep it simple, keep it within the context of the building, and that's why it is just a plaster gable with wood posts, maybe a little bit wood fascia. I probably would add a little bit of a post base, just some small details, a little bit of a post capital, and that's it.
Yeah.
It's hard to do that. It's hard not to start designing.
It's just an aesthetic thing. It just seemed kind of heavy to me for the
gable,
for the size of the columns. But I understand what you mean with the keeping with the architecture of the building.
It's really tough. Mm-hmm.
I have a question with regard to the porch. Over here, are you doing like an engaged?
Yeah.
And a post?
Yes.
So there'd actually kind of be a line right across there.
Yeah.
Wood coming up and then stucco wrapping into it, right?
Yeah, so it would just be, probably even false half post there.
Right, that's what I thought. Yeah.
A04. Yeah. That'd be the east elevation. It's in the middle of the, out there.
Oh, we'll see how you've got a wood post coming up into stucco, right? Mm-hmm. So that means the stucco wraps into it, right?
Yep.
And then, but over here, you've got half a post, which is done. But I just didn't see a line across there, so I just wanted to make sure that it was what I thought, which
it
is.
Yeah, it's coming from a 3D model. Sometimes they don't
fill
out the lines.
Yep, I get it.
By the way, just as an aside, I like the way on the title sheet where you had just a quick three-dimensional sketch.
Oh, good.
Just so that the basic geometry is right there.
Oh, I'm glad that was helpful.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with that.
No questions.
So this was...
What's this here for?
Conceptual.
Okay.
We still have to go to...
Yeah, there's an SCD that has to happen in between conceptual and...
Okay.
Yeah.
So
it'll come back for preliminary after it.
Comments?
SCDs.
Any comments, Bob?
Yeah, I think the concept is very good. I mean, trying to do here. I just had a couple questions about the interior, and I know it's not within the design review board's purview per se, but just some things that kind of raise a question. The plan is to demolish the existing water heater,
mm-hmm.
and you have a space where that is in an area with a washer and dryer, and
right.
you're expanding the kitchen into that area.
Right,
and you have a sink. So as you're coming into the foyer, are you going to be able to see right into the kitchen?
Yeah, I explained that to the owners because they did want to have that expanded that far, and I said, well, we can do that, but it's going to be. And it's a funny 1970s detail. You would have seen these sometimes where you would have had the shutters on the inside.
Right.
So that they can close off the kitchen sometimes from the foyer or have it open. So you'll see there are two kind of windows delineated there. So those are openings with shutters that she'll have that when she doesn't want people to see into her kitchen, but she can also keep them open.
So that that area where there's now going to be a sink, that was kind of right in proximity to where the water heater
That's
was.
Correct.
And what you're showing is you're putting a tankless water heater over mm-hmm. on the addition.
Correct.
I guess my question is, are you going to be using a water softener in conjunction with the tankless water heater? Because I've heard that you get a scaling problem if you run Goleta Goleta City Water or Goleta Water District water through tankless water heaters, you get scale buildup if you don't use a...
We hadn't talked about that yet, but she could obviously locate it in her master closet.
Yeah.
Pipe it there. Yeah, or even into the attic.
Okay. The softener you're talking about?
The softener.
Yeah. And then the other thing was the run. I mean, that you're about as far away from the washer and dryer and the kitchen sink with the water,
yes,
with the hot water heater.
But we would have been as far away if I'd kept it where it was, going to the new master bathroom. So no matter what, when we looked at this, we had new plumbing runs.
Okay.
So that's why we talked about that one, where we said, well, no matter what happens, you got to rerun your plumbing.
Okay. So then on that sheet A-03, where you have the first floor plan, the idea of having a closet and that master bathroom is a good one, but what I question is going into the closet from the bathroom, and did you think about having just a walk-in closet off the master bedroom, let's say, and having the bath just separate?
You know, this is their desired layout, and I think that that's not uncommon to see the closet access through the master bath. Yeah.
And then the other, again, just if you flipped things so that the bathroom was actually closer to the existing bathroom, did you consider that so that your runs would be shorter?
It's much less. I mean, we're talking about 10 feet of pipe, not much money for what is their desired effect of having that window off the back and more privacy. I don't usually, if we're talking about 10 feet of pipe, I don't usually make people do a change in their design for something that minimal.
Okay. As I say, just kind of looking at the layout, it raised some questions in my mind. The other thing was, on the entry porch, are you going to have an exterior light?
There will be. I just haven't gotten to showing lights or
taking
light pictures.
So that's, we'd like to see that is compatible with dark sky principles.
Oh, sure.
And energy efficient, if possible.
Of course.
And this is here for conceptual, so I think that's all I had.
I'm good with it. I think we could continue this with comments, and I guess that's my motion, I guess.
Yeah. Okay. Because we don't have a meeting on August, our next available meeting is July 26th, but we're not going to be able to complete all the SCD documentation and processes between now and the 26th. August 9th is our next meeting, regular scheduled meeting after that, but that one's canceled, meaning August 23rd is the next available time that we can come back. So it sounds like what the DRB is saying is conceptual review is now completed and then continue to preliminary if it works with the applicant to return on August 23rd.
Okay. Is it possible to do a preliminary final?
No, the way that the process is set up for these projects that are going through conceptual and then preliminary and then final, it has to be through the discrete steps because your appeal point is actually at the preliminary appeal
that's right,
point.
That's right. Brian told me. Okay.
So what date would you like to come back?
The 23rd is good.
23rd, okay.
Was this one we had to vote on or?
Yes.
Okay.
So,
and someone aside from me needs to make the motion.
Well, I think Scott made
the
motion.
Well, I did. I made a motion.
And I'll second it.
Continue this as submitted. And
yeah, and I second it.
Okay. So we have a motion by Member Branch, seconded by Member Smith. All those in favor?
We're continuing with comments, but do we need, for the minutes, do we need to list what the comments are going to be?
Right. They should be on there because we're expecting the applicants to come back.
Yeah. I'm not sure what the comments really are.
Well, I think it was about the lighting.
Yeah.
Was really
there anything else
I could think
about it? Yeah. Beside that, exactly. I think that was, yeah. Everything else is matching existing as far as
yes.
color scheme and roofing material mm-hmm. and all that. So it's just the...
I'll be returning with the final.
Yeah, right. With the details.
The just the detail on the exterior lighting.
Dark sky compliant.
Yeah. Okay.
So all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Thank you.
We have just completed K2. We're going to move on to K1. Well, we announce the items. Has everybody visited the site?
Yes.
Everybody has?
Yes.
Okay. We all have visited the site?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's three sites. Okay.
I'll put one down here if that's okay.
Yes.
No, I just shot it.
Other members of the board, this is the Westar project. It's returning back to you after some time away. The last time that you reviewed this project, it was for conceptual review back on February 9th, 2010. We're still here today for conceptual review. What's been happening since you last saw it and today, we've been preparing the draft environmental impact report for this project. And as we've been going through that process, there's been some small revisions that we've seen to the site plan that I'll let the applicant discuss with you in just a little bit. And they also wanted to take you through a discussion about some additional revisions that have happened to some of the residential architecture as they furthered their concept and their plans. I'm not going to get into any of the details itself. I'll let the applicant again speak about those. The only thing I do want to let you know is we do have some set of plans that I've just submitted to you. I'm about to submit a couple additional sheets to you as site plan revisions that I'm receiving today, essentially. So they haven't been here for the full week. We did receive some revised plans about a week ago, a little over a week ago. But there are some small revisions that they wanted to make to these. I'm going to let the applicant explain what those small, tiny little revisions are. And other than that, I haven't been contacted by any members of the public in terms of letters, and it looks like we have some members of the public today that might be here to speak to you as part of the public speaking period. So with that, I'll go ahead and I'll turn over the floor to the applicant team after your question.
I don't think we have announced the item.
Let me back up.
Okay. Madam Secretary, will you announce the item, please?
Okay, item K1 is Design Review Board Permit Number 08-143 DRB. This is the Westar Mixed Use Project located at 7000 Hollister Avenue. It's a request for conceptual review of a proposed 279 residential unit apartment complex, 5 live work residential units, and a 90,052 square foot shopping center development and associated access, parking, amenities, support facilities, landscaping, and infrastructure for a residential and commercial mixed-use property.
Okay. My apologies for jumping the gun there, and but with that, I'll go ahead and turn over the floor to Peter Ketting.
Okay. Thank you.
Good afternoon. Peter Ketting with Westar. We just requested, and I appreciate being granted some time just to come by and just kind of touch base with you guys on some of the.
Now are the lights on. Some of the tweaks that have come up due to design reasons or utility company reasons, but we have before and afters, and I'm going to walk you around the macro side of it. And we'll talk about the retail site plan and the multifamily, and then I would like your input on some of the elevations now that we're tightening up on floor plans. So I think everybody received a small version of the site plan. But if you keep an eye on where I am. I'll just kind of walk you around. Once again, Hollister on the front, Glen Annie on the west. The approach zone wasn't correct on original designs. It's actually a tighter line. And then there's the approach zone 1 mile marker, which we hired the civil engineers to actually show the Airport Land Use Commission by engineering and science exactly where this was. It was because there's two different style. What was that? There were two different techniques on the engineering to plot that. The surveyors. So we've met with them several times. And so on the front corner of the pad, we've had the slide the building down. We just away from the corner, away from Glen Annie to the east a little to get out of that 1 mile marker. Coming around, we took it on ourselves, what I call Pad A. The original plan had that turn going along the street. We thought this would be less visually impacting, so we turned it to the side. Correct, 90 degrees. And then the original site plan, we have... We miscalculated the size of the market. We had 25,000 and roughly a 4,300-foot little building. We need to do 30 there. So we kept within the framework of the general plan on the calculations application. So it's basically correct. And here, here's another colored one of it, basically.
That's the new version.
That's the new version. So we're just it's little by little we're getting more refinement, but primarily we want to talk today about the some of the elevations and some of the changes, minor changes on the site. First of all, you received some technical drawings from that the staff wanted that depict how the new power lines are going along the north side and on the east side of the property. How that setback works, and cross sections of that, and Robert Schmitz here from Penfield and Smith to explain if you need that. So there were some adjustments there, but from the naked eye, you look at the old site plan and the new site plan follows 99% of the same. Now, circling around. By the way, are there any questions on the Edison on that?
I guess my question is, can you verbally explain the difference?
Sure. With your help.
Okay.
Okay. Let's start with sheet, this one. This would be along the 101 freeway in the back, right. North side.
Right.
At this side, this has not changed at all other than they're dropping in precisely the... That's the next sheet.
The location of the poles.
Right. Edison has vetted. We've had several meetings with them on how it's going to work, where retaining walls will be. And the cross-section shows how it works. And you'll see cross-section B in the middle. Mm-hmm. And then here's your drawing of it in the bottom. Okay, go ahead, Ron.
We originally had a retaining wall back here in this backside. Mm-hmm. SE really didn't want, they're trying to stay away from it, so we actually sloped it a little bit more. So there's more of a slope, and we got rid of the wall and the majority of the places under it.
So there's no wall? There's no.
Not on the backside, no.
So there's no separation from the track?
There's a big mound itself.
And what is the high? So.
I don't know what the. Would there be any kind of a, like a fence or anything to. I'm just asking.
Robert?
I believe we were putting a fence behind the backside.
But you're just not doing a...
The mound itself comes up pretty high. I believe it's 6 to 8 feet of a mound itself. What we were doing originally is we were going to cut it out of portion to get a bigger flat spot
right.
for SE.
Yeah. Right. Well, I was just thinking about restricting access to people that shouldn't right. be on the railroad right away. We lose enough folks to trains in this area every year
right.
already.
Uh-huh.
We're looking at that, and we'll come up with a design. If we do it, it would probably be pilaster and wrought iron, so we get some air through it, and it looks good. We are quite a ways above the railroad, and quite a ways beyond.
And so, is that going to ameliorate some sound issues?
Yes.
Okay.
And you've already looked at that?
We're looking at, into it right now. We have to have an acoustical study done on the ends of these buildings, and Jack Selman, the president of Architects Owners, he's doing the apartments, he can address.
Okay. And does this increase landscaping area in possibilities in the back, or it's the same? It's the same, pretty much the same.
Courtney, I think it's about the same.
It's the same. The only difference is that now it's a slope. Before it was flat with retaining condition.
Right, so that probably.
Which will then prompt
some other
higher shrubs and
trees.
Yeah, which would be nice.
Now, they're picky about how high they can be under theirs. But remember, their easement's only over here. So outside of that, they didn't care what we did.
Right.
And we have this meandering path going through. And we're going to use some of this as well for bio retention and mitigation there. Now, the other side is on the east, which would, that goes along the east side. That would go from the 101 down to Hollister. You'd probably look at it this way.
East, isn't it the west?
It's the west.
It's the west.
I'm sorry. Did I say?
Yeah, it's the west
right.
side.
I'm upside down on the west side.
Mm-hmm.
So there we have two easements. We have a storm drain, sewer easement, which is 10 feet. Then we have the Edison easement. And so they wanted to stay out of the storm drain. I mean, excuse me, the sanitary. And so we had to redesign that area in there and make it a little wider. And then Edison allowed us to encroach 5 feet into theirs for parking purposes.
Did the other avoidance reduce parking spaces or anything? No, same thing.
Same thing.
Okay.
One thing they wouldn't let us do, we had shaded parking in some of the area here.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't want a structure in there, so we're relocating those to a convenient area.
In the back.
And somewhere near one of the buildings. They didn't want them along this side, that's all. Short of that, wherever we had have a pull, we designated this on the original plan. We have a pull-up for them so they can get a truck in there.
Right.
That's not counted as parking or anything. Other than that, we've
And is there a restriction on heights of trees and things? Have they
In their easement only, but not in the sanitary easement.
Okay, but under their easement, what is the restriction, do we know? I know they come
20 feet.
I think it's about 20 feet, yeah.
15
to 20, but we would only do, you know, shorter even than that trees, you know, 15 feet maybe max, just to be safe.
Because they really butcher them anyway. No, they come down and they prune, they tend to be, they go through the neighborhoods cruising and looking at their lines, which is fine. They come and do that. That's fine.
We're going to maintain them. They're not. I know what you mean. They can come through and lollipop things and top them and don't care.
Right. Yeah.
They've been very, very helpful. You know, it took a few meetings, but we're getting through them. Let's look at apartment elevations now. What we have, Jack. This is Jack Selman of Architects Orange.
Hi.
Welcome.
We in getting into the design development. There are some issues with the floor plans that we've had to correct for buildable. For example, the plumbing didn't stack. They had a hallway going over some units, and the structure didn't line up. So we've adjusted those, but we've kept within the same architecture style to the T. For example, this is the new one.
Okay. Keep going.
What we've done is we followed all the details. For example, let's take for example. On the tower, you can see there's a little full door with a little balcony with two windows below. So those type of details, all of the little outlookers on the roof, we kept the stones in the same location. The only thing, one of the things that changed is the previously the rock tower was on this side because they had a bedroom here and a living room here. But we couldn't get access to the second and third floor rooms without going through this corridor, which we've eliminated. So we've got our entry now over here, which causes our bedrooms to be here. So we flipped that tower, which I actually think balances out pretty well. Same tower, same details. Here's what I was trying to say. So this is now his entrance over here. Mm-hmm. Previously it entered in this quarter, in the back in this quarter. None of this lines up structurally with this, and we really don't like outdoor quarters going over someone's living room. So we just pull this back and push that up to get this line structural lineup, which caused our entrance to come over here. So that's why that turned. Everything else is, I mean, some of the windows are a little bit different locations, but we've tried to keep like the little small windows over on the side. We've tried to keep shutters where they had shutters. And because they did a nice job of doing all the detailing on the project, and we respected that and didn't think we could, didn't really want to try and do anything different, just make it fit our building. So those are, and then I have in the package you receive, the black and white package, you can also see the sides in the rear. And I have, I think I included a roof plan as well.
Yep.
Which are, again, pretty much all the same features.
One thing we were able to do to these units that is new, you know, we have garages on the back, three quarters of them, and we've been able to, is wherever we can, have direct access into some of the apartments from the garage or to that courtyard, so you only have a few steps from the garage into the apartment as an amenity. I mean, that's a benefit. The ground floor still, same unit counts, our square footages are improved. All the downstairs, there's three units downstairs, and they're all fully ADA.
Yeah, it's the same mix, same number of units, same number of parking spaces, pretty much everything's the same that reflect the basic building. This, now, the I think we sent you some black and whites, but I don't know if you want to go over this in more detail, but these are the new elevations. But again, if you compare them with the old, they are as similar as we could make them. For example, if you got a rock portion there, a hip roof there, same here. This got bigger because of one of the bedrooms, but we've got the windows with the shutters here, which we've got there, and we got the doors for mechanical below like they had there. We kept this little balcony situation here and tried to do the same details there.
We added, rather than have this continually flat, there was a comment made. We threw some arches in over the garages on some of those to break up that.
We kept the little trellises on the corners. We've broken up the doors into different styles, which was done before. We've got our shutters and balconies pretty much the same. And the color schemes, we haven't actually picked the actual colors yet, but will be, as you can tell from this, which is based on the previously approved plan, they will be blocked similar to this.
Question for you?
Huh?
This is
the rear elevation of that building.
So that rear elevation is this elevation.
That's correct.
Okay, so it looks like you've got a break in plane with those center three doors.
You're right.
So, but this looks like it's all.
No, that's a first floor. You need to look at the second floor right above
it. That's not what I'm talking
about. Oh, I'm sorry.
Here.
So, oh, you're right. That comes out. You're right.
In plan, and this looks like a lot of one big plane of doors.
I
see the upper pop out going on there.
Good point. That does come out.
It looks like in two different places.
In this case, they cantilever out.
Right.
Which shows on the second floor. But on this case,
Doesn't seem to reflect it on the floor plan, because this only shows where it pops out across the center, quite a bit of it in one spot, whereas, which I like that elevation there, but that tends, there's three distinct areas that
this pops out.
Yeah.
So,
and
that,
it looks like
that's incorrectly
and it
wrong.
Doesn't, it looks like it probably pops out in here somewhere as well.
Right.
And then you've got this and this looks like it pops out here somewhere.
These are two stories.
Or am I reading this wrong?
Hold on a second. Let me see where my other... Oh, here we go. Yeah, no, this pops out. So this the ground floor plan is not drawn correctly.
And what about this?
I
Wouldn't we be seeing this, this, and that pop out in here somewhere?
Right, on the upper floor, all the way to the roof.
Upper floor only.
Well, this is,
but then
the third floor.
Yeah, it's very same as this.
Yeah, this was the old one where it was flat.
So it looks like...
I'm not sure why that does that on the second floor.
It shouldn't.
I'm just curious, what pops out? Is it the balcony thing that pops out?
No, in this case, it's these three. Let's see, the second floor would be... Yeah, those pop out was shown there correctly. And then this is out.
Yeah.
So then, I'm not sure what's not why it's not showing.
Because that would be the center three. That would be the space defined by the center three garage doors here.
Right. But
which would correspond
he's saying
here.
It, it
yeah.
Needs to correspond
yeah, it does.
The,
yes.
Yeah, you see it pop out there.
I'm not sure why that's like that.
We'll check it. That's a good catch.
I'll check it.
Yeah. Yeah, because from the elevation, that actually looks pretty nice the way you
yeah, I like
yeah, yeah,
it right there. It looks like you need to pick it up and plan.
I don't know why it's not consistent, right. But it's not.
All right.
And then if we could steal five more minutes of your time to show you what's going on with our clubhouse and rec building and some of the modifications there.
Yeah, this was the original one. Now we're comparing. Let's see if I can find the floor plan here.
Yeah, I'm not sure. The other way.
Maybe.
Keep going. I'll find it for you.
Okay. Anyway, it's the building that you can see on the site plan. It was originally like this, and we kept it like this. The difference, the change we made is the original plan has the tower in this location. The parking for the entrance to the facility is over here. So this is this is the leasing package. So
I can't find the floor. Okay.
Yeah, so
that's the previous one.
Yeah,
the color
yeah
one.
That's the.
So this is the previous elevation.
Yes, we get the front of it. The front elevation somewhere.
That was just it. Well, that right there.
That's the rear.
I'll find it.
Yeah. There's a front in there. You saw just a few minutes ago.
Keep going.
Anyway, so this is the front. So what's happening is, from a use or a functional standpoint, you drive, you turn in, you park here, and then you walk over to the leasing center. So that would mean you would have to park here and then walk kind of over to here. They had the entrance here. So we've moved the leasing entrance here and put the tower on that location.
Floor plan.
Yeah, that was the original floor plan.
Right.
So the entry was here. We moved the entrance down to this end because of the way it works on the site, keeping the bin in the building.
Now the entry is closer to the parking.
Right. The entry is related now to the parking. There will be a walkway going directly to
it. That makes sense.
Because you can't park around here anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And then what we did, you know, we followed, again, where is the... That's the rear. Where's the front elevation?
I don't know.
Anyway, if you look at the front elevation, I need to show you. We followed each piece. That's the same. That piece is the same. That's the same. It changes here where the tower used to be there, and now we've moved it around on that side.
And go through the floor plan.
And the floor plan, due to programming, we've changed some of the uses and the size of the uses. So the building got a little bit narrower this way. Essentially, leasing lobby and all that is here, and then the office, lounge, kitchen, fitness, and bathrooms are similar to this,
mm-hmm.
but just spread out a little bit differently. But if you see this, like for example, that piece there is this piece, right? We push that out to match that, so we can get this tower. We push this out, so we can get this tower here, which they have over there.
Mm-hmm.
Here's that front.
Okay. Thank you, Missiles. Nope, that's our front.
I found it. Too many drawings.
Okay, here we go. So what I'm trying to say is we got this little piece here, which is the same detail, same roof. We've got this piece here, which is this piece here, same chimney. So we've got this piece here, but then this pulls back around. So this piece right here reads a little differently. But I think it, you know, it keeps the same intent.
Yeah,
you know,
it looks good.
Okay.
Yeah, we're adding some better amenities inside the new floor plan. We've got some real good ideas from some of our consultants on just the way it's presented and operated. And we're very pleased, and we're extremely pleased with the floor plans that we've struggled mightily with to get them unique and different. And they're coming together. So we came by to just touch base.
Okay.
I haven't seen you in a while. You know, you architects know when you get all of a sudden in front of a utility company, they start pushing things and, you know, putting their foot down, and you got to work around their hot buttons. I think we'll answer any questions, but that's where we are.
Next time we come back, we will clarify this rear issue.
Sure. Okay, cool.
Questions from the board?
This is actually from Cecilia, who wasn't able to stick around. And it has involved with the landscaping. And she was asking about the trees in the parking lot up front in the commercial area.
Okay.
Has that changed what the spacing is on that? You know, just to kind of touch base with us in general on this.
We're still working through the redesign of that area. The
okay.
quantity of trees should not change.
Okay.
We, as far as I know, the dimensions of the islands and landscaped areas in that area have not changed.
All right. Now, because she's more familiar with this, things with landscaping than
right.
I am, what was the general, like every so many spaces, there was how far it is before you have a pocket where there's a tree or some landscaping?
Before, I think it was every 5 stalls, if I remember correctly.
I think normally that's what it is.
But we did discuss this a little bit just before the meeting.
Okay.
And so, I know there is a required quantity per stall.
Okay.
So that will be taken into consideration when we get into the working drawings.
All right. Thank you.
As a side note, I think the fact that you had to move pad H to the west actually helps the landscaping opportunity at the corner there.
Yeah,
it does.
I think
yes.
so.
That's kind of a bonus,
and
actually.
And I kind of think the same might be true for rotating that building A. I think visually from the street, I think that's a definite improvement.
Yes, okay. I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think
good.
It's coming along.
Yes.
Well, thank you. I think that's just about everything. So it was, appreciate the time just
sure.
to show you where we are, and you're our litmus test, kind of bounce ideas off.
Great.
Well,
okay.
The only thing
I'd like to add is just, and I wasn't expecting you to come up in detail about the columns and the wrought iron, but just from looking at that cross section to the railroad right away, even though the retaining wall is gone, there ought to be something needs to be there to prevent, you know, the unauthorized public access from going down and hanging out at the tracks at the wrong time.
Got it.
All right.
Well, we still might have more members, more comments from other members of the board, and we do have at least one speaker slip that I'm aware of.
Yes. We do have one speaker slip here by Betty Jeppinson. Okay.
Is this on? Yes. My name is Betty Jeppinson, and I work for Islay Investments. We own the property at 7127 Hollister, which is the Plaza Shopping Center anchored by Pacific Sales and Albertsons and containing the DMV. We are concerned that the last time this came before the Design Review Board, the exit traffic flow from the proposed development is all heading toward our center. This would mean, as far as we can tell, that every car that really wants to go east, which is Glen Annie Stork, and go to the freeway and go to Santa Barbara, is going to utilize our center to turn around. And we are concerned about cars utilizing our parking area, our slurrying costs increasing, also the possibility of accidents. We just want that issue to be resolved before this project is completed. Thank you.
Thank
Did you.
You
have any questions of me?
Yeah, just one question. Are you talking about the entrance right at the center there of the retail area, where right across from the entrance to Camino Real Marketplace?
Well,
or are you talking about the way on the far side of Glen Annie?
The last time we were here,
yeah.
I was here for hours. And every time we talked about exiting the center, it was said that they could only turn right. There were three exits, and they could only turn right.
That's only on
Glen Annie Road. My understanding is that that center one is going to be a full, I don't know how many way stop.
So how will they get to the freeway? They have to turn right on Glen Annie, and then where will they turn around eventually to go back?
You'll see. He's pointing to it right there.
Okay,
right
there. So you're going to have U-turns there.
No,
you're going to have everybody go down. Yes.
Yeah, and you wait for the right hit. You wait for the left
hand
arrow.
We actually somewhat addressed that because there were the concerns of the residents across the way.
Uh-huh.
And so we talked about that access road from Glen Annie to cut through this project to get to that light.
Yeah.
For the sole purpose of those people being able to turn east and head towards Stork.
Well, if I may approach this drawing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And Betty, if you want, that microphone could be taken off the podium. And while you are heading up there,
yes.
Just a technical thing that I'll talk about. The board itself, the design review board, is here for aesthetic purposes.
Okay.
Traffic concerns are something to be addressed within the environmental impact report process.
Okay.
So have your comments.
Yes,
but
I'm going to be brief. So if you have everybody turning onto Glen Annie here, they're going to go here, and then how are they going to turn here? Because I understand that people coming from here are going here are not going to be a problem.
Well,
we're concerned about this.
Ms. Jefferson, if you look up, if you go north on Glen Annie Road,
mm-hmm.
you'll see where the exit, right there, right
uh-huh.
there.
Uh-huh.
That is right opposite the entrance to the housing development, and we had talked with the applicant, and they had realigned that specifically so that people who live there can go down that road. If you'll follow all the way down, then you stop at
uh-huh.
the light, you wait until the little green arrow shows right, then you
okay.
make your right-hand turn.
And then you go back up
yeah.
to go to the freeway.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, as long as that plan is affected, that should be
But like, as
fine.
Scott said, we're not really involved with traffic. That's traffic. What department
okay.
is that, Scott?
Okay. It never hurts to mention
really
it at every step.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yep. And it looks like we have a couple more speaker slips on this item, so let me pass these over.
Okay.
What's happening?
A couple more speaker slips.
Oh, whoa. Okay.
Okay. Our next speaker would be Leslie
Lund.
I'm sorry.
Hi, I'm Leslie Lund, and I'm a resident of 118 South Glen Annie Road. So we're very much interested in this project. And I do agree with the previous speaker about the traffic. We're a little nervous. While it looks great to go towards the center and come back out and turn left at the light, remember you still have that huge research building, Stork Hollister, with over 600 employees in their parking lot, and they're going to be forced to come out there at 4 or 5 o'clock at night and try to figure out how to go back on Hollister and flip a U-turn to get back to the freeway to go into town. So you've got all those cars to consider too. Am I making sense?
You are making sense, but
okay.
But again, you're.
I know you're not traffic.
Yeah,
I mean,
that's really that's
okay.
For
thanks.
Community services to figure out.
I think it's great that the one building, the restaurant building, has moved back because that does open the avenue for lots of wonderful trees. In fact, we were sort of hoping that maybe there was a green belt with a meandering sidewalk completely all the way around the project, but I don't know if there's room for that. The other thing is the pocket park that he put in, we're calling it a pocket park. It looks like it's been shoved back a little ways to make use for the mixed-use housing. And we thought that the parking was going to either be parallel or completely removed from in front of this park. So now it kind of looks like there's more people sort of backing out. I'm talking about all those spaces right here, backing out into our front yards, and with traffic going this way to catch this. So I'm talking the residential open space right here, where it looks like this there's another entrance that's kind of in front of these houses. This, of course, is my house right here. So it looks like all of us are parallel on this side, and people are backing into us on that side in this direction, forcing exit towards the ocean. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So I'm a little confused about that. This seems like it was kind of shoved back, and we thought there wouldn't be any parking right in there. And I think that's about it for what I noticed that was a little different than the last plans we reviewed. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yes.
Leslie, if I could respond just to one of your comments regarding the meandering walk around the perimeter of the project. We do have one that actually connects around the entire perimeter of our project. So
oh, cool.
That is in effect already.
So like a jogging path,
yes.
Dog walking path,
connects
and all
around
that.
The entire thing.
That's excellent. Right. Excellent. Right. Thanks.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to address. Leslie, you're correct. That additional parking was added at the request of the community over here. I'm looking at the old plan and the new plan. We picked up maybe a 12 or 14 diagonal parking stalls there. This is off-site. It doesn't count toward our development. If they want that gone, I mean, it was only at the bequest of the community to add as many parking stalls along there as possible. So that's something that could be considered. Or maybe narrow it down and put them parallel. It just
if you do parallel, you'll lose spaces.
I know. And that's the problem.
That street's well, full of parking constantly.
Oh, understatement. Yes, I live there. That's my front yard.
Yeah.
but we're just trying to prevent accidents from happening. If you're here and you've got this backing here, and then you've got this 600 employees here that are trying to exit here to go there to get out, to get back on the freeway. I was just a little nervous. Yeah. And then it seems, is there another driveway in here? It doesn't really show on this part.
No.
But it seemed that there was some, maybe this is what I'm looking at. So that doesn't open into the street, correct?
Correct.
Nothing, so it doesn't open into these two houses right here?
No.
Correct.
Nothing okay. changed on the driveways.
All right. And then how do these people in the mixed use get to their places? I see parking places back there, but I'm assuming they drive through the shopping center to get to their stores and residences?
They park around the back. Right there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, right there.
All right.
And they have garages.
Which actually allows for more traffic going down this street for people to get into that way rather than going straight right. to wait for the light to go through the shopping center. Right. Am I correct?
Yes.
Yes.
But again, that's traffic. Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay.
We have one more speaker slip. Pat Boyne. I'm sorry if I can't pronounce the last name. Fine. Okay.
Hi, my name is Pat Vaughn, and I, too, live on Glen Annie at 106. I'm the second house in from Sespe, kind of at the entrance. Yeah, I'm the second house in from there, down. Right. I have, we had talked about that parking on a little side note, that it is perpendicular. It is a narrow street, and everybody would be going this way and that way, and people would be backing out. And I thought the last meeting that we had discussed the option of making it parallel parking like the rest of the street so that it is looking like a parking lot and we're not looking at the end of cars and their taillights because we are, in fact, a residential neighborhood and not a commercial sure. parking lot. I do have a question or two about the electrical. When you change these lines and move them back across the railroad, and they come up the far side on the west. Are those going to be above ground, or are they going to be underground?
Above ground.
Okay. And also, I noticed that you have some existing easements on here currently. And on the one drawing, you have the gas company's rec station here on the end, but you don't indicate that there is a gas company easement for this here. There is also a setback for this line, because there is a 30-inch high-pressure line that goes transmission there in the gutter, and also a 16-inch. The 30-inch is equivalent to the line that was up in San Francisco. And I was wondering if the setback was going to be there, because you also have a driveway where the trucks and everything are going to come in, where that reg station does sit down there by the pet hospital. So you're putting big trucks in there also. And I was wondering if you had taken an account for that easement also.
Yeah, thank you for bringing that out. Yes, that easement's shown on the civil engineering plan. We're well aware of it.
Okay.
And the Edison Company is well aware of it, because they have lines going underneath there, and we're going to take underground the rest of the lines on Hollister. So there, we have had meetings with him through our engineers, and yes, we worked out an arrangement to veer around that gas pump, that pump station. Right.
Reg station. Okay. On the electrical lines that are on Glen Annie, are those going to change? Are those poles going to change at all or not?
The
just
poles,
the wiring?
The poles remain, but the big 60 kV lines are gone.
Okay.
They go right from the I'm trying to talk and look at they come right from the substation. They'll go due west along the north property line and wrap around.
Okay.
So the only thing on there will be distribution lines and the lines that go out to UCSB.
All right. And so the poles will still be the same height, is that correct?
Correct, but there'll be fewer lines on them.
All right. And will they be currently in the location that they are now?
Correct, except the one out by Hollister, which moves back.
Right.
That big steel one will be gone.
Great. All right. Thank you.
You bet. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any comments by the board?
No.
I've done. Okay.
Okay. And then it's the DRB's pleasure as to what to make your motion. I don't believe the applicant is intending to come back, so with that, it would be something along the lines of we completed our conceptual review.
We completed this phase of conceptual review and look forward to seeing it again.
And I second it.
All right. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay.
Last comment. We Courtney Miller is here, and ironically, she worked for the preliminary landscape architect down in Southern California. Now she works for Kitty O'Reilly, and so she's working out of her office for over a year and a half, Courtney. And she's heading up this, so we have some consistency.
Good.
Anna.
Hi.
Hello.
Welcome.
Right. Thank you. Okay. Well, now we move to advisory calendar. Okay. Discussion items. Okay. Request for future agenda items by members. None. Announcement by members. Okay. Adjourn. End of meeting.
Thank you.
Thank you all.
Thank you. Thank you, folks.
That was best. I can understand how this works.